With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go to Peter Vesey of patreon.com. We love Peter's columns. Always have, always will. The last time I had you on, I didn't get a chance to, believe it or not, talk to you about this guy. I have to ask you before I get into all this stuff about Wade and everything and about the Cavs and how they're doing since the trade. I have to ask you about my buddy that I play ball with a lot. And I never knew your history of knowing his game and everything because I never saw the piece until after I talked to you. Was Blackjack Ryan, the street ball guy from 4th Street. I'm friends with Blackjack. I play ball with him a lot. And you were all over that movie about him, that documentary. I thought it was incredible, that story, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Jack and I go back a ways. I mean, he's come 180 degrees since the early days, and now Netflix is doing a piece on him. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, I am.
Doing a movie on him. And in fact, the guy just called me today, the producer, for an interview, starting an interview with me. Jack was quite the player when he was young, out of control, but unstoppable. I'm sure if you've played with him, he's put the ball under your legs while you're trying to guard him.
Yep.
But he always was very respectful of me. He never did that to me, and I would beg him, Jack, please, you know, don't embarrass me in front of people. Don't put that ball between my legs.
He used to, like, he does all of them, though. He does the wraparound. He does the watch check on his jumper. Now he's got the Brooklyn tattoo on his forearm. He's got the, he does the over-the-head trick like he's going to pass. He's taught me all of his tricks. The over-the-head where he stops the ball at the back of his neck. And then have you ever seen him do the one where he tucks the ball between his calf and his hamstring? And everybody's looking for the ball, and it's caught between his legs. I mean, it's the funniest stuff I've ever seen in my life. And then when he spins all those balls on his no teeth, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I liked when he went to the hoop and took his teeth out on the drive.
Did you see him play at John Jay High School?
No, I didn't. I didn't see him until he got thrown out of about 11 or 12 colleges, and he showed up at our gym on 14th Street and First Avenue.
Right.
And he'd bring his brothers with him, and his brothers were, you know, real badasses also. But Jack was and still is a phenomenal shooter. And Netflix's idea on it is that, you know, adversity, he came back from, you know, from having a lot of problems, all his own created, and now they're saying he's the best white schoolyard player ever. You know, that's taken in a lot of territory, but if you've ever seen him play, especially back when he's young, I don't know, Jack's got to be over 50 now.
He's 57.
He's 57.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
I still play with him.
Yeah, no, I know. How old are you?
I'm 52, and I mean, I can play, and he knows it. But he's
you're a rookie. You're a rookie. So.
Yeah, I'm a rookie, but I got to tell you, when I play with him, I've seen the guy. I swear to God, I've seen the guy. Literally, I'm not even kidding you. Hit 95 out of 100 J's from downtown. Like literally, I've seen him do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great, great shooter, and. No, people don't know, you know, too much about him, I'm sure. But, you know, back in the day, I actually got him a tryout with the Nets.
I know.
Bill Fitch was coaching, and Rick Carlisle was the assistant coach. And I remember Fitch telling me, you know, when he said, no, all right, we'll give a tryout. Tell him to come to camp, you know. And then he walks in. He'd never seen him play. He just did it did me a favor. And Jack walks in the gym, and he's, you know, he'd been in the sun all summer. And so he, you know, he was basically, he really was Blackjack. And he was probably, you know, well, no, he was definitely out of shape, but not out of shape for us, but out of shape to play pro ball.
Right.
And Fitch was saying, what did Vessi do here? Stick me with this guy. And, you know, he's only about 5'10".
Right.
And then Fitch fell in love with him. He thought he was tremendous, and it took about 2 weeks. He was really in good shape, and he said to him, look, you know, go to the Eastern League, and then, you know, we'll see how you do, and then, you know, maybe we'll bring you back. And, you know, Jack goes, nah, I'm not doing that.
He showed up on his bike, didn't he?
I think he did. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. You know, Fitch and Carlisle telling me about it, because I used to bring Carlisle down to our gym on 14th Street when he played with the Knicks.
Right.
So I think maybe Carlisle has played against him. I'm not sure. But to this day, you know, he's got great things to say about Jack. So, you know, it's amazing. So here he was trying out. Carlisle was, you know, just starting to be a coach. And now Carlisle, you know, has won a championship in the NBA. And, you know, if you bring up Jack's name, you know, he'll tell you stories.
So, you know, he now, as you know, he's done the Harlem Wizards thing, and then he does, Saturday, he was at a college in Riverside, California, with his torn calf. He told me he tore his calf in Woodbridge on Thursday night. He's been having a calf problem that he hasn't been able to play lately. But he goes out there with his little daughter, who's like 13 years old, and they spin thousands of balls, and they shoot. He shoots bombs and makes them, and he does the whole bit, the teeth out. He makes everybody laugh. But I think it's great that he's turned basketball into his living, and he makes kids happy, and he makes parents happy, and he is just good to kids. I think it's a great story. Pete, I want to come back.
One thing about his calf, though, I'm sorry to hear that about his calf, but a calf, like, people don't realize, it's like your calf is attached to your Achilles. And I remember my son tore his calf when he was going into high school, and we had a great doctor in New York, Dr. Stephen O'Brien, who used to be with the Giants. And we took him to Dr. O'Brien. It was about a week later. He heard it at Kenny Smith's camp down in North Carolina. And he told us then, he said, if we had waited another week, Joseph would never play again. That's how severe a calf injury is. And so, you know, you can't fool around with it. I mean, Jack, you know, Jack is going to, you know, test everything, you know, to its limit. He's not going to, you know, listen to advice like that. He'll continue to play even though it's throbbing. But, you know, it really could be a career-ending injury for him. You better be careful.
I told him that he should see my guy that does, you know, physical therapy where we play, because I go, you got to treat it. It's not going to just go away on its own.
No, it's not.
Hold on, Peter. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk about the Cavs with you. I got a lot of basketball questions I want to ask you about the NBA and the big trade deadline moves and Dwayne Wade and everything else. We're talking to the legendary Peter Vessi. Again on the bench. It doesn't get any better than this. We're talking to the best basketball writer ever, my favorite hands down, Peter Vessi. I gotta ask you, when you you're talking about, you know, balling and everything and playing around the city, and you obviously played forever, where, like, besides 14th, did you used to go down to 4th Street and watch him play? Did you used to go to Rucker and watch him play? Where are your favorite spots in the boroughs to play ball and to watch ball?
Scott, I thought you knew something about me. Scott, I played at Rucker. I had a team at Rucker. You know, I brought Julius Erving to Rucker. You know, that was my team. So, you know, yeah, I played all the boroughs. You know, I used to go up to the Bronx at midnight and play at Tiny Archibald. Used to open up his gym called the Bronx Gardens, you know, where Rod Strickland and Kyrie Irving's father grew up. I played in every borough, and, you know, anywhere there was a playground, I used to stop and play. And I learned very early in my life that there was going to be always somebody, at least one or two or maybe five, better than me in every playground.
Right.
And, you know, but that didn't really – I really didn't care about that. I was just looking to play.
When did you – do you still play or did you stop playing?
I'm 74.
So what?
No, I stopped at 60. and still playing pretty damn well at 60. But my son started to play, and he was pretty good. And I said, you know, I'm just going to back off and let him do it. And that was a big mistake. I never should have stopped.
When did you, was it because when you saw, because I'm playing still a ton, and I'm playing against kids that are 18, 20, 25 years old, and
yeah.
I'm still dealing, but...
Yeah.
When did you decide when they were running up and down on you and you couldn't catch up to them?
You weren't listening. No, I was still playing really well. And, I was playing in games with the same people you are now. And,
right.
The comp got better and better, of course, as we got older. But, if I was getting intimidated or devoured, I would have quit. But, no, I quit because of my son. And, again, big mistake because I waited too long and then I thought about coming back. I said, no, I'm not going through an injury. And, I'm very lucky. You know, Jackie Ryan has probably had a dozen surgeries or so. I never had one. I had my teeth knocked out a number of times, but no surgery. So I'm really lucky. No hip replacements, no knee replacements. So I'm not going to be too upset about quitting.
Wow. I've had some. I have I had the rotator and labrum tear surgery, and I also had – I broke my hand a year ago in five places and had to have it rebuilt, all playing basketball.
Actually, I did break my hand once, and this woman doctor devised a steel splint for my fingers, And, man, was that effective to hit people when I was in the hotel. You're too young to remember it, but Bob Pettit, when he played for the Hawks,
right.
He broke his arm his wrist one season. And in those days, they allowed you to play with a cast on your arm. So I think he had it on his left arm. He was a righty. And he just used that as a weapon, to clear people out the whole season. Or half the season, whatever it was, and then the league, the league said enough of that.
So let me ask you about this story that you wrote. I think it's great. And so many different facets about how cheap Gilbert is and how he's like the worst owner to play for in the NBA.
Let me stop. He's not cheap. He's paying more luxury tax than any owner in the league for the last 3 years. He's not cheap. He does everything. He spends money to win, And look, they've gotten to the finals, LeBron's there. They get to the finals, and he pays exorbitant amounts of money for guys that don't deserve it, LeBron basically, punks him out as far as, a guy like Tristan Thompson holding out into the through training camp and stuff, and that they have the same agent, and he keeps saying you got to sign this guy, got to sign him. They gave him like $84 million, whatever it was. They overpaid him, so he overpays everybody except LeBron. LeBron's the only guy that's not overpaid, and it's not cheap at all. Is he difficult to work for? I'm told he's the worst, but not because he's afraid, not because he doesn't want to pay you. He'll pay the players. He might not pay the GM. He might not pay the coach.
Right.
But he might not pay people who, work for him, in his, Quicken Loans. I don't know. But, he's also, I only know him peripherally. He's a tough guy, he's a weightlifter, he just prides himself on being tough. He's rebuilding downtown Detroit. He's done a lot of good things. I don't know.
So,
I'll take that GM job for $750 a year.
The one guy, Griffin, wanted $5 million and he wasn't having any part of it. Did you like the Wade deal that you liked that they got rid of him?
No, absolutely. Yeah, of course I did. He wasn't doing anything for them. They weren't winning. The team, that the rookie, what's his name? The general manager, Kobe, whatever, Altman. I don't know him. but he's rookie GM of the year. He made this trade that was, one of the most phenomenal trades, in league history, because it took a team that was going down the tube, and LeBron, as good as he is, could not carry them anymore. He could not carry them. And so he got rid of guys that were doing nothing, guys who had no value at all, and turned them into four productive players. And I just looked, you know, during the 5 minutes, what they did tonight, those guys, those four guys, I'm not going to name them yet, but the four guys, 48 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists tonight. Are you kidding me? You know, those guys they got rid of, they would have given up 48, 15, and 10.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't have scored it. But, you know, it was tremendous getting Hood and Clarkson and Hill and Nance. You know, Tristan Thompson, you know, may only play 10 minutes a game the rest of his career if Nance stays there. And he does have a contract for next year. I mean, he's unbelievable. And let me just go on the other side of it. You know, everyone's saying, and you know, Lakers made a great deal because it freed up a lot of salary cap. And I get that. But the last time the Lakers, different regime, but the last time the Lakers had a staggering amount of salary cap room, they signed Mozgov and Deng, you know, for like, you know, $150 million
right.
between them.
Right.
So my point is that, yeah, I am expecting LeBron to sign there. I'm not expecting Paul George to sign there. I'm expecting Paul George to I'm saying definitely will stay with Oklahoma City. So you've got this cap room. You just let go Clarkson and you let go Nance. And then you've got to let go Julius Randle, who I really, really like. And because they didn't tender him a contract, so he'll be an unrestricted free agent after next year. They won't have the money to re-sign him. So you're giving up three core players to such a young team, you know, that had such promise. You know, in the end, this might be a terrible, terrible move for the Lakers because it might open up cap space. It's not going to get them anybody worthwhile. They get LeBron, fine. You know, then they have, you know, they've got enough guys, they've got enough length to go somewhere. Not win it all, but they've got somewhere to go. You know, they'll go somewhere important. But you know, I don't know. Anyway, the Cavaliers made a phenomenal trade.
Yeah, I liked your stuff on Hood as well. I think he's a really good player. I think they stole him from Utah. I got a couple minutes here. Respectfully, I want to ask you. I liked your thoughts on Porzingis. You would trade him basically, and then he gets hurt. What happens now? And do you like that Moutier player for them?
I love Moutier. You know, I haven't seen him an awful lot. You know, a few times with Denver this year. You know, at one point I was going to write that I think he's gotten good enough to trade. You know, he's got some trade value because he didn't get along with Mike Malone in Denver, the coach. And then I saw him in his first game as a Knick. I mean, the guy's got great promise. He's in his fifth year, but him and Frank together, you know, in another year or so, he needs more, you know, maturity to step up to where Moutier is. But anyway, you know, I do like those two guys a lot. Moutier looks like he could be a star. As far as Porzingis goes, yeah, I was thinking about trading him. You know, like Phil Jackson. You know, nobody said, oh, by the way, maybe Phil was right. Maybe the guy is injury prone. You know, he had missed 16 games. That's what he's worried about. He had missed 16 games the previous year. He thought he was soft, and at times, you know, of course you tear your ACL, you're not soft for that, but you know, he whines a lot and he talks a lot now. I'm not really a big fan of his anymore. And then, you know, I'll tell you something nobody knows is that when the Knicks were down in Memphis and the whole team went to the memorial, you know, the Lorraine Hotel, and they have the memorial there for Martin Luther King,
right.
And he didn't go. And he was the only player that did not go. Other than there was one other player whose family was in town. What's his name? The big kid from Queens. He didn't go because his family was in town.
O'Quinn.
I didn't like. Huh?
O'Quinn.
Yeah, O'Quinn. O'Quinn's family was in town, so he didn't go. But you know, wait a minute. Are you the leader, or are you, you know, going to lead them astray? You know, why do you boycott it? Why didn't you go to that? No, you know, it never came out. Nobody ever talked about that, but it pissed me off when I heard that.
You know what? I think he's soft, too. I think he can shoot, but he gets pushed around by bigs. Pete, I got to run. Listen,
okay.
Listen. All right. I wish I could have seen you play ball in New York.
No, I might come back just to play you one-on-one.
You got to come watch me and Blackjack play down on 4th Street this summer. We'll invite you down. I'll buy you a sandwich.
All right, okay. Take it easy.
All right, thanks, Pete. Great stuff. I love having you on. Peter Vesey, the one and only. I love having him on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.